welcome to Black on Black on Black. You're here listening to Black on Black on Black with D. Fantastic. I'm back. Boom, boom, boom.
People need to get a sound effect. Or I can bring in my cowbell, just get it going.
And that making cowbell noises, which it's horrible, is Queen Noor.
Hey, DJ Queen, what's good, y'all? And look who's back. Back in the saddle and ready to go at it.
Absolutely back in the saddle. After I got saddled up with a baby, you know? I mean, you know, check it. I'm back here. I got a little wolf baby. This baby's in the background. Because this time for the show, our theme is, we call it Mother Dearest.
That's right. So, well, and also, we might have some new listeners that haven't met you yet.
Oh, yeah. So
tell the people who you are.
Well,
you know, a bum, but like, here we are.
Bum, 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 bum. That should be a sound right there. So I'm D Fantastic. I'm a stand-up comedian. I am a native from Texas, and I'm here, and I'm ready to rock it, baby. I like making people laugh. I like making people smile. And I like just having a great time. So I'm freaking pumped. And for those who have never listened to Black on Black on Black, it is a show about a Bay Area native and a girl from the South, a.k.a. me, holding it down. We're here to make you laugh, make you smile, make you, you know, orgasm.
And often to make each other just laugh. I feel like we're often just entertaining ourselves on here.
Oh, many times. But, we like to give our perspectives as two black women on black things that happen and our black perspective on things that happen.
That's right.
Like the Grammys last night.
Yo. Did y'all watch the Grammys? You know what? This has been a very active, like, beginning of the year for the black
2024?
Community.
Yeah, it's been a lot.
Between Cat Williams just going on and just a tirade.
And wild.
Megan Thee Stallion coming for everyone in the industry's life. His baby.
Absolutely.
Niner gang bang bang. Okay. Niner gang, bitch.
Let's relax on
it's
that.
It's a great time, y'all. It's
okay.
A great time.
Let's just. Okay.
And now we can roll.
This has got to be the least exciting Super Bowl I've ever experienced.
So D is a Raider fan, aka
Raiders,
aka Raider Fool, as you are.
Wow.
And so, you know, the Raider Nation is known for their hateration.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Okay. Look.
And this dancer, he got y'all open. Now you
look. Okay. Look, just because we've been on the struggle bus for the past 20 years.
y'all lives.
You had to fight. Does not mean that I hate. Look, I'm just saying, no one's thrilled about this Super Bowl.
We're talking about the whole city of San Francisco is thrilled about this Super Bowl.
Okay.
Have you seen all them stands out there selling fucking knockoff?
Y'all are like a real, like, football city, though.
Yeah, we are. We are a sports area.
No, you aren't.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
Yeah, we are, baby.
Compared to where?
Everywhere.
Okay.
Everywhere.
Well, anyways, would you like to introduce our guests that we have on? Move on with your nonsense.
All right. Coming to the stage. Coming in. Agua Canta.
Singing water.
Yeah. Just a quick intro for... Where did I put that thing at?
You're doing great.
I'm doing the Lord's work over here.
All right.
So... Agua Canta is a genderqueer solo parent and musician who has been living in the Mission for a little over a decade. If you're listening from outside of San Francisco or outside the Bay Area, that'd be kind of awesome. Cool. Mission is a neighborhood here. It's where our show is based out of, actually. Really wonderful neighborhood. Agua has been here for a minute. Their kiddo, Little Eye, is being raised in three languages and a lot of music. Actually, what three languages is it made?
Catalan,
yes.
Spanish, and English.
And could you explain the difference between Catalan and Spanish?
Thank you, because I was 2 seconds away from asking.
So, Catalan is as different to Spanish as French, Italian, Portuguese, Romanian, and any other Latin language are from each other. So they have the root, which is Latin, and then each of them have branched off, you know, probably combined with a local language of the region. In the case of Spanish, there's more, there's definitely a lot of Arabic in Spanish because they were under the Arab Empire for 800 years. Mm-hmm. But I'd say the closest language to Catalan, I think, is Italian, probably.
You've said that to me before, and it would make sense because whenever I hear someone speaking in Catalan, I'm like, I have no idea what's happening here.
I mean, for me,
not a clue.
when I went to Italy and I backpacked on my own, and I tried out speaking Catalan with an Argentinian accent, everyone understood me.
I remember you saying that. It's like you all understood each other.
Yeah, because all these Italians immigrated to Argentina, so that's why in Argentina they're like, che boludo, pero habla así. It's like...
Mario in Argentina.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I was babysitting for Little Eye once, and I picked out a book, and I was like, oh, okay, this is Spanish. It was not.
It was not.
I was like, I do not know what these words are. I do not know how to say this. There's, like, X's. What is happening? This is not any familiar. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to read this, because neither one of us know what's happening, yeah. So it doesn't matter.
You know, just make the sounds, show the pictures. That's all that's needed.
Yeah, exactly. It was about engaging with the eye more so than, you know, my ability to actually read the
language.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I feel like it is with our kid is learning Irish as well as English.
And I was gonna ask. So currently, how's that going? Like, are you already speaking with her in Gaelic, is it?
Yeah.
Gaelic?
Definitely. I say, like, little things, like, you know, good morning, Majima, or hi, Diogwich, you know, how are you, like, Karata, you know, Konasatatu, you know, like, would you say, wow. Karata Uit, you know, like, or are you hungry, you know,
Amazing.
So,
do children at Wolf's age demonstrate like comprehension already of language?
I don't think it's comprehension, more so it's like hearing what you're saying and seeing your lips move and like how it's supposed to be said. That's more important, you know, in the context, right? Like if I could say like, I'm so angry and in an angry voice and it makes them upset, but then I could be like, I'm so angry and I'm smiling and it makes like them happy.
Yeah.
I think it's like context, but it's hearing language, you know, over and over and over again. That's more helpful. And then, you know, once they start like speaking, then it's, you know, but it takes a little while. Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. A lot of times in language in general, the things that are understood come more from body language than they do your actual words. So it makes sense that the body language would be immediately learned. Survival, baby, survival.
But it's super funny because there's an Irish language channel that's in Ireland, and then we have the app for us. And if I just need like 5 minutes, right? Like I'm like, okay, I gotta use the restroom. We don't do like a lot of screen time. It's very, very minimal. But I'm like, okay, well, we'll put on like an Irish language thing. And now I've learned how to say head, shoulders, knees, and toes in Irish, right? Because it's hard. Okay, kill, gooin, gooses, cuss, kill, gooin, gooses, cuss. But like, cause I'm like learning as well. So I'm like, okay, like I'll put it on. We're both excited. We're both engaged.
Oh my god!
You know? It's pretty funny.
You're making me remember a really funny time where one of Eli's grandmothers was like visiting.
Yeah.
And one of Eli's queer aunties was also at the house. The queer aunties like very proudly uses the word faggot with a lot of pride.
Sure.
And so
reclamation of the word.
Exactly. And so the queer auntie overheard the grandma reading a story in Catalan, and it was about firefighters, and he just heard her, and she just kept saying, apaga el foc, y arriba los bombés, y apagan el foc, y el foc, y el foc, y el foc. And he was like, I thought I was going to teach little I that word. And it turns out that foc means fire.
Yes. That makes sense. That makes sense. There's a couple of Irish words are like that. I can't think of them off the top of my head right now, but it's really fucking funny. Where you're just like, what is that actually supposed to mean?
What was that word you just used for head? Was it kill? It sounds like kill.
Yeah, it's C-E-A-L. It's like, so it's kill. But I mean, that's like the E. That's like one of the easier words. Like, a lot of that language is so crazy. I mean, it is wild to me that, like, the part of the issue with the Irish language, and we're getting off topic, part of the issue with the Irish language is that it's missing a lot of letters, so it combines letters to make sounds.
Huh.
You know, like D, an H is like a V.
Okay.
D-B-H. Yeah, M-H is a V sound. It's trash. Great language, but it is hard as hell. It is very hard. Hardest language I've ever tried to learn.
I just remember when we were in Dublin, and the buses they say the thing in Gaelic, they say like the stop in Gaelic first, and then they say it in English.
Yeah.
I was like, what are these letters? Like, what is this? How is this the same thing?
A lot of the times when I'm saying stuff, it's like my mouth feels like it shouldn't move this way. Which actually is one of the biggest things of language learning.
Yeah.
Is that how you learn, like, what nationality you are and what is your first language can kind of dictate the muscles in your mouth.
Yeah.
And makes it either easier or harder to, like, learn other languages where your mouth moves much differently than it, quote unquote, supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, it's fascinating. Language learning has always been like,
I heard learning Arabic is like really hard.
I can imagine.
It's more with your throat, right, that you're really talking.
I think one of the hardest things,
total?
From what I understand, one of the hardest things about it is that when you're learning classic Arabic, you're learning how to read and write, but then you need to learn like an actual verbal Arabic, and they're all different. So it's like, they call it all Arabic, but actually it's like, if I go to France and I learn French, and then I move to Portugal, and it's like another language. But that's the same thing if you learn Arabic in, you know, Algeria, and then you're like, I learned Arabic, and then you go to Egypt, or you go to Lebanon, like, you do not actually understand anyone or know how to speak to anyone.
Yeah.
So you're like, I put all that work into this.
Another really hard language, and then we'll move on, is Vietnamese. So there's a huge little Saigon in Houston, which is, people who don't know, that's where D-Fantastic is from. So we have a lot of Vietnamese people there. And I've talked to many different Vietnamese people about the language. I've always found really fascinating is that, like, the inflection of a letter can make a totally different word. So, like, that's what makes it very, very difficult of how you say an A, you know. Like, an A sound can have, like, five different types of inflections and length and, like, strength to it. And I'm like, nah, bro. I don't got it. I don't got it.
Bro, I barely have a handle on English. Like,
I know. We know.
Every day is a struggle for me out here.
It is, yeah.
I don't know why these people pay me to facilitate.
Okay, so for those who don't know, Black on Black on Black, we like to start off our segment before we get into some music with a Would You Rather. So, in the theme of our episode, Mother Dearest, I have a great Would You Rather that I'd like to ask, which is, would you rather live in a world where males are the one who experience pregnancy, like that is what they do, or would you rather live in a world where females are typically, like, physically stronger than males, naturally?
I mean, it's complicated because there's a couple considerations in here, right?
Of course, yeah.
You think about it in terms of how would that change people who identify as women's, like, quality of life.
Yeah.
And then there's other parts about how is that going to dictate or change, like, the way in which the world structures itself, right?
Because
policy pharmacy is going to be different. How we interact with things that, like, we're gonna build a different society.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to think which one would have the best outcome for us.
Yeah.
Which one? I feel like I would like to live in a world where males got pregnant.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it would have, I think there would be a lot of empathy that would come from men experiencing having their bodies go through that type of change.
Sure.
And also have that experience. I think we're definitely going to now have, like, a very strong gender autonomy from that, right? There's not going to be more of this, like, you can't get an abortion.
Oh, right. Sure, yeah.
It will be the fastest drop.
But remember, we wouldn't be worrying about that at all.
Yeah, but still, the men would still be in power, right? Men would still be in power.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think if it was the other way around.
Historically, if pregnancy has led itself to the hindrance of advancements of female body people, mm-hmm. because it's like, you know, the heteronormativity of child rearing falling on them, mm-hmm. like, would that mean that males typically would be still in charge still?
I don't know. I think patriarchy doesn't go away if men are the ones who get pregnant. And I think they would structure it where they would still be able to work. And somehow it would still be expected for the other person to take care of the child. Or there would be incredible access to daycare nannies immediately.
You don't think that we might end up in a matriarchy only because some of the main theories behind what has developed the patriarchy was the need for the resource, which is resource to access to the womb for the carrying of your child, right?
I think that was patriarchy's justification for itself. I don't think that's an actual reason. Mm. And so I think the narrative would just change in that, like, since patriarchy is now giving life, matriarchy really needs to be at home taking care of the kids.
So which one are you choosing?
I think I would rather have it that men got pregnant. I think it would go a long ways in changing a lot of different policies in terms of that would benefit people, and that it would greatly strengthen the child, how children are raised. I think there would be way more resources available. I think we would have way more policies in which people have their own autonomy of their bodies. Birth control about to go up, baby. Birth control about to go up.
Yeah.
And we will benefit. You know? And so I just think there's a lot of societal benefits that will come. Not to say that if women were stronger, there wouldn't be, but I don't know if that's going to actually, I don't know if it's just going to switch that women are going to become, like, have this show the same toxicness that men show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Ava?
So, could it be that that cis men get pregnant as well as women? And
we would be giving that up entirely. Yeah.
Would it be like suddenly there's a change, or we're just like imagining that all along?
Yeah.
I just don't feel like I can even fathom it, because it feels like every single reason that we have the kinds of inequities and the kinds of conclusions that have been created and how to organize our society feel completely connected to, like, actually women do have more strength than men in many ways that are unrecognized.
Yeah.
And so it's 100%. Like, sure, they might not be able to lift as heavy as an object.
Yeah.
But, like, men are going to be way more wimpy about a little cut on their finger.
Always. Or a cold, you know, or just
anything.
And their multitasking ability just sucks. Their multitasking ability sucks.
Yeah.
Wait, which one are...
I would say because we're already stronger, we also just are stronger.
Okay.
And so, and then we get to just, like, not take their bullshit. It's just like, we carry the miracle of life, which is a gift I'm not willing to give anybody else except people who have it. You know, it's a privilege and a curse, and it's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
But the things that people do to take advantage of us in that way would be gone because we could beat their ass.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I am in the same lane with Ava. Like, I definitely would be... I would prefer us to just be stronger.
Yeah.
You know? I
I honestly, if they got the gift of life as well, mm-hmm. all I could see is absolute ruin for women.
Why ruin?
Just like, I think that they'd be like, really, then what the hell are you here for? Like,
they would be so narcissistic.
They would be, it would be crazy. Like, I'm honestly just like, I couldn't imagine that. I just feel like they would be like, wow, so now we've got this. I feel like they go crazy.
They would go crazy. What are you good for now?
I think they would
become women.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Like, in some way, I feel like once you have to bleed every month, you have to go through all that. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's one of the things that makes you.
I think there will be some change in chemistry.
They will have some change in chemistry. For sure. And I think it's fun to think about. But I do like the idea of, like, you know, would we have the same fears of walking home alone at night if we were just physically stronger? Yeah. If you're physically stronger and, like, I have the gift of life, I'm like, yeah,
Could you imagine a pregnant man trying to attack you in the middle of the night?
He's like, get out of your mind.
Crazy, bro.
Better
go on before this can become a double homicide.
Are you joking right now?
I am gonna jump in to normalize our trans men who are pregnant.
Of course.
Because they are out there, and I know that y'all are folks who would be very supportive of that. But they do get a lot of hate. Because there are a lot of people that feel that entitlement that I just described, I feel. Mm-hmm. You know, and I said it in a humorous way, but there are women out there that feel that in a turfy way.
Yeah.
You don't get to do this. And it's like, yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They have a uterus. They can do it.
You get to do whatever you want to do with your body.
Your body.
Yeah. You know? Well, I think that's a great segue to continuing on with our segment. Today, we're calling this Mother Dearest. And this first song is actually by one of my favorite Houston rappers called Maxo Cream, and it is called
Nashville is Everything Around Me.
That's not it at all.
I know.
It's Mama's Purse by Maxo Cream.
Yeah. Get in the bag.
Ever since I could remember, I've been popping my collar, Jordan, spending top dollar, Fendi, Gucci, Balenciaga. And ever since I made some figures, I've been splurging on my mama, and that's the motherfucking problem. It don't help, but what a drama. Hey, my brother in a hearse, and he just gave his daughter birth. Look at her face and see the hurt. Bought her a Lexus diamond necklace in Balenciaga purse. I was trying to buy her love, but I really made it worse. Put a price tag on her love, but can't afford how much it's worth. Still remember early mornings for them Jordans stealing out my mama purse. For what it's worth, that shit only made it worse. Every since a little nigga, mama tried her best to keep us fresh. Fourth grade platinum, FUBU, middle school, rocker with Mitchell. It's the way she got it, my guess was finesse. I really never knew that she was shoplifting, did it the best. My aunties did it too. See, Macy's ain't like me shackling, cause she was always jacking them, cutting them sisters with scissors, switching the price tag on denim. Denim, she still with her sisters, on point and accurate. Used to go home and practice. See, they so cold, ain't no catching them. Ever since I could remember, I've been popping my collar, Jordan, spending top dollar, Fendi, Gucci, Balenciaga. And ever since I made some figures, I've been splurging on my mama, and that's the motherfucking problem. It don't help, but what a drama. I knew my brother in a hearse, and he just gave his daughter birth. Look at her face and see the hurt. Bought her a Lexus diamond necklace in Balenciaga purse. I was trying to buy her love, but I really made it worse. Put up my tag on her lover, can't afford how much it's worth. I still remember Uncle Main stealing change from the offering at the church. What's even worse? first. After church, he bought some work. You don't understand, don't get it. My lifestyle, you never live. Come take a walk inside my dentist. Hopefully, you could see my vision. See them crackheads and them junkies. Those my uncles and my aunts. They have it bad and it's sad, but I look past it because they love. You see a pimpin' prostitute with me. I see a happy couple selling ass for that cash. They think it's a honest hustle. You see them crippling cuz in blue. Packing tools and toting roots. We ain't blood, but I call them cuz. They make five dudes over, call them thugs. You see Jack the shooters, me, I see my brother. Got love for shoplifting boosters, cause that used to be my mother. I'm credit fraud, just scamming. Fuck the cops and free my daddy. I could take out mug shots and make a portrait of the family. And ever since I could remember, I've been popping my collar. Jordan spending top dollar. Fendi, Gucci, Lenciaga. And ever since I made some figures, I've been spurging on my mama. And that's the motherfucking problem. It don't help, but what a drama. It don't help my brother in a hearse, and he just gave his daughter birth. Look at her face and see the hurt. Bought her a Lexus diamond necklace and Balenciaga purse. I was trying to buy her love, but I really made it worse. Put a price tag on her love, but can't afford how much it's worth.
She caught in a way. Tonight I am walking away. 9 to 5, mind on a grind, yeah, yeah. Tonight I might fall in love. Depending on how you hold me, I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fights it by falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. Your back against the world. I never tried you for anybody else. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. The best thing in the world. I never tried you for anybody else.
Pose like a trophy when Naomi's walking. She need an Oscar for that pretty dark skin.
Pretty like Lupita when the camera's closing.
Rip broke 11 when Michaela's rolling.
I think tonight she might pray her praise. Melanin too dark to throw her shade.
She went to business and went away.
Roll like 24K.
Okay.
Tonight I might fall in love. Depending on how you hold me. I'm glad that I'm calming down. Can't let no one come control me. Keep dancing and call it love. She fighting by falling slowly. If ever you are in doubt, remember what mama told me. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. Your back against the world. I never tried you for anybody else. Brown skin girl, your skin just like pearls. The best thing in the world. I never tried you for anybody else.
In the mirror lately, wish you could trade eyes with me.
Cause there's complexities in complexion, but your skin is glow like diamonds.
Take me like the earth you be giving birth
to everything alive, baby, know your worth.
I love everything about you, from your nappy curls to every single curve your body natural.
Same skin that was broken, me. Same skin taking over. Most things are to focus you, but when you're in the room, they know it's you.
Oh, it's you.
You're beautiful. Yeah, you're beautiful.
Ooh. Them and them gon' fall in love with you and all of your glory. Your skin is not only dark, it shines and it tells your story.
Keep dancing, they can't control you. They watch and they all adore you. If ever you are in doubt, remember one more.
search for anybody else singing.
What did they give you, blood?
3 months, man.
What you doing in here anyway? You ought to be home with your mama. How old are you, boy?
13.
Damn. Must be running out of niggas to
raise. This goes out to all the families that went through the struggle.
All
from the heart. It's all from the heart. Everything was real. Yeah. Dwelling in the past, flashbacks when I was young. Whoever thought I'd have a baby girl and 3 sons. But going through this difficult stage, I find it hard to believe. While my old earth had so many seeds, but she's her own woman. And due to me, I respect that. I saw life for what it's really worth and took a step back. Family ain't family no more. We used to play ball, eggs after school, eat grits, cause we was poor. Grab the guys, bought a channel, fixed the hanger on the TV. Rocking each other's pants to school wasn't easy. We survived winters. Snotty nose with no coats. We kept it real, but the older brother still had jokes. Sadly, daddy left me at the age of 6. I didn't know nothing, but mommy neatly packed the shit. She cried, and grandma held the family down. I guess mommy wasn't strong enough, she just went down. Check it, 15 of us in a 3-bedroom apartment, roaches everywhere. Cousins, aunts was there, 4 in the bed, 2 at the foot, 2 at the head. I didn't like to sleep with John, Johnny beat the bed, 7 o'clock, plucking roaches out the cereal box. Some shared the same spoon, watch a Saturday cartoon, sugar water was a thing, every meal was no frill. In the summer, free lunch held us down like steel, and there were days I had to go to Texas with a note. Stating Gloria, can I borrow some food, I'm dead broke, so embarrassing I couldn't stand a knock in they door. My friends might be laughing, I spent stamps in stores. Mommy wears a toilet paper, use the newspaper. Look, Miss Rose gave us a couch, she's the neighbor, things was deep. My whole youth was sharper than cleats. 2 brothers with muscular dystrophy, kill me but I remember this. Mom's a lick of fingertips, she wiped the cold out my eye before school with a spit. Caseworker had her running back to face to face. I call the case house and try to throw us out of our place. Sometimes I look up at the stars and analyze the sky and ask myself, was I meant to be here? Why? Yeah.
All that I got is you, and I'm so thankful to make it through. All that I got is you, and I'm so thankful to make it through.
scroll through your mind and see what you will find. And you see your whole universe all over again and again and again and again and again.
bro.
Okay.
Hey.
Damn.
Hey.
Get your shit.
Hey. I've been here. Welcome back to Black on Black on Black. Here come that Raider hater nation again. Bro, it's strong in the Raiders. It's strong.
Anyways, we're back. You're with D Fantastic.
And DJ Queen.
And we've got our special guest, Agua Canta.
Hey.
And another guest over here, little Ayla.
Yep. Well, we have children in the hizzy today.
If you haven't been able to put that together yet.
Yeah. Because our segment, Mother Dearest, is, you know, kind of an homage to me coming back from my maternity leave. So here we go.
Welcome back.
My first baby. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
How old are both of your... I know this, but for folks
like... Oh, sure. Yeah. So my little baby is 4 months old today. Yeah.
Baby wolf.
Four months ago, we just said labor is just not doing well, so they just cut me open.
Bro. That labor journey.
Yeah, 3 days of labor and then a C-section, but you know, I'd do it all over again.
Shit. You better not say that too loud.
Man. She's looking at me right now like, really? Would you do it? Yeah, I would for you. Just for you, though. Just for you.
That's a lot.
So we kind of want to break this up into some little pieces. And I think this segment, before we get into some more music, is kind of just about the journey, right? Mm-hmm. Like pregnancy, pre-pregnancy, birth, all that sort of stuff, right?
Yeah, and I think for this one in particular, we're gonna get into like some myths and tricks, because, you know, there's those old wives' tales that most of us grew up hearing, and some of them are deeply cultural, some of them are just like general ones, but I definitely wanted to dive deep into some old wives' tale that you all heard. It's some that you either feel like are completely true, or some you're like, that's complete bullshit. That is absolutely not how this works.
Yeah, I think I'll start off. I think one was, so I had really bad indigestion. Like, it was so bad that I actually went to the hospital once.
I remember that because
it was coming up in my sleep, and so I would, like, you know, you're breathing in your sleep, and so it was coming up, and I just like inhaled it, and then you're choking. Jeez. And because you're choking, you're coughing, but because you don't have a lot of room in your organs for anything, when you cough, you throw up. So I can't breathe, I'm coughing, I'm throwing up. It was terrible. We went to the ER because it was just like,
it was during pregnancy, right?
It was during pregnancy, yeah. It was absolutely terrible. And so I pretty much toward from the middle to the end of my pregnancy, I was sleeping like at an 80-degree angle to, like, you know, try to keep the indigestion down, popping Pepcid and Mylanta, like my life depended on it, because it did. And of course the people were like, oh, you know, your baby should have a lot of hair because you had indigestion. And I was like, get the fuck out of here.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. And of course, yes, she did have hair.
Yeah. Moldy melon.
Yeah, that's my nickname for my child. I do call her a moldy melon because she's got a hairy head. It's kind of patchy. You know, it's moldy. It's like a little moldy melon.
The cutest little moldy melon.
The cutest little moldy melon in the world.
But only you would absolutely give, like, a ridiculous nickname like that.
Because melons are adorable.
It's called a moldy.
She's looking at me right now, like, bro.
Like, I know you talking shit.
Yeah. 110%. So that was one of the myths that I heard. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think that the myth that I experienced personally was, like, people don't treat you like you're pregnant till you look pregnant.
Yeah.
But the hardest part of the pregnancy is when you don't look pregnant.
Yes.
And so it's like, You know, I personally went through a journey where I didn't keep it private because I had been on a multi-year journey of being a queer person who was choosing to be a parent, choosing to get pregnant. So it wasn't like, there's a lot of folks who at the first trimester, they actually, you know, don't even share because there might be, most people don't share. That, you know, you never know if you're going to have a miscarriage and you'd rather wait for the genetic test or something, you know. And because that was not my case, I was really shocked about that. I was like, how do people not talk about what's going on?
Oh,
it's the hardest part of the pregnancy.
Horrible.
And I mean, I felt like I was possessed.
Yeah.
There was like this demon that possessed me.
Yeah.
And I was like feeling nauseous all the time. All the foods, like the smells, like getting on a public bus, I maybe want to throw up. Like,
yeah.
Anything,
getting on BART.
Anything, all the time. And then just like this really intense state of transformation because your brain completely transforms. You go through this process that is going to be a lifelong process of change. And it's happening most intensely in that moment.
Yeah.
Where you're completely invisible in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everyone is acting like you're supposed to act normal.
Yeah.
You're supposed to work. You're supposed to laugh at jokes. I'm just like,
meanwhile, the body is in complete chaos.
Yeah, I totally feel you. My first trimester, I mean, I'm already a tired person in general. But I felt like someone just like shot me in the back and was just like, bitch, sleep. Like, I was sleeping like 16, 18 hours. Like, I was sleeping overnight. And then as soon as work was out, I was like, I'm gone. I was sleeping for like 4 hours. And you can't say anything. You're trying not to explain it. You know, but looking back now, I think, you know, for the next kids, I fully intend on telling, like, at least the closer people that I'm pregnant earlier. Because it explains so much shit, you know.
Yeah.
You're like, why are you not going out? Why aren't you doing whatever? And I was like, well, I'm tired. I'm like, yeah, Devon, you're always tired. Like, why are you not, like, yourself, right?
Yeah, bro, do me a favor. Because do you know? Y'all do not understand. Y'all do not understand what I went through because Dee decided that she really wanted to sit on this and not tell people, but she was still going out.
Yeah.
And not only was she still going out, people would buy her shots and she was accepting them, and what she would do is she would give them to me. So I was dying out here. I was
do not complain. You love that shit.
No. I love it when I choose to, when I have to quickly chug her drink down so they don't see. It wasn't even like she didn't want it to even be noticeable that she didn't drink it because she didn't want no questions to be asked.
Yeah.
So it would be like they had to turn around and I'd go, put it
right there. Thanks. Oh my God.
I was so relieved for the both of us when you told everybody. I was like, I'm about to die out here.
Yeah, I mean, that was definitely, looking back, I'm like, I really don't, it, like, the first trimester was so hard, and really, people just don't, I have way more energy in my third trimester than I did in my first trimester. And yeah, things are harder, you know, but the second trimester is great.
The second trimester is, this is a myth that's not a myth, it's true.
I was gonna ask, is that
the golden trimester is true, but it's weird, because it's when you might, depending on the person, you might start looking pregnant, and so then suddenly, after no one acknowledged it, even though I was very public about it, but it was very hard to let people know what was needed at that time. It was weird, you know?
Yeah.
It was like, suddenly, you see the belly, and they're like, oh, you need help.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm fine. I feel great.
I feel better
than ever.
Yeah. I've been fine for a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, I do, that is a great point, that people don't really treat you pregnant until, unless they either really, really know you, or they themselves have experienced pregnancy, or they have kids, or they kind of have some idea. But yeah, people are just kind of like, eh. And then all of a sudden you got a belly, and it's like, whoa, don't lift that pencil. And I'm like, I got it.
He's like, I've been doing this for 8 months.
Yeah.
How soon did your pets know? I know there's like an old thing that like cats will come and sit on. This will come and sit on you.
The cat was harassing me, and the cat is actually one of the main reasons why Shane insisted on me getting a pregnancy test, because she was just like all over me, just following me everywhere, and I didn't want to believe it. I was like, yeah, get out of here! Like, I'm not pregnant. Like, what are you talking about? My husband was very much so like, go like do a test. The cat will not leave you alone. I was like, but she's always like that. My cat is always like that. But no, I was very pregnant.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, I've been throwing up randomly for like 3 weeks before then. So
D was like, nah.
I mean, you know, I drink, so I don't know. Yeah. I was like, maybe I'm just hungover. I don't know. You know, like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, because I, you know, I found that I was pregnant in January, but I had been pregnant for weeks. So I went to Texas for Christmas and everything, was drinking, having a blast, mm-hmm. you know. And I remember there's one time, me and my family were going to a bowling alley. And so I'm in the car, and it's cold in Texas. But I was like, I told my parents, like, roll the window down. This shit is hot. And they were like, are you good? I was like, yeah, I'm fine. But I was like, oh, man. We roll into the parking lot, and literally my parents can't even park yet. I'm like, stop the car. I open the door and vomit out into the street, and they were like, are you okay? I was like, yeah, I'm good. And I proceeded to go into the alley and order drinks. I was like, I'm fine. I just was hungover.
I was not. I was very pregnant.
I remember when we went to Seattle for my birthday.
D threw up in the middle
of the street. Yo, just walking.
There was this gay couple walking by, and they looked at Devonya, and they looked at me, and they're like, I like your hair.
Yeah. I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Yo, the gays.
It came for me, and I wanted to be like, I'm not hungover, I'm pregnant.
They looked at you like you had the plague.
Yeah.
They would rather you be hungover than call them. They're like, they're not headed to the breeder.
Yeah.
We do have one of the good ones in the house today, but a lot of them are like, oh, breeder.
We don't like the breeder.
Such a dehumanizing term.
Hey, someone has to make more humans, you know?
Bro, really honest.
Yeah. Someone has to.
Someone got
to
do that labor.
Yeah.
Not me, but yeah. Somebody got to do that labor.
Well, you know what else I also heard? And this hasn't happened, but people were like, don't let the cat around your baby. It'll suck its breath out, you know?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, they have a lot of stuff.
People believe that.
What is the Spelman witch trial? Oh, sorry, what?
People believe that, like, if you let, like, the cat get close to the baby, they'll suck the air out of the baby.
You just walk in the room and let...
Can you imagine my cat doing that? Like, no. Not at all.
Yo, that fight that would happen afterwards would be legendary.
That would be epic. Yes.
Legendary. Yes.
But that was weird. I'm like, no, that's not a real thing. Like, no.
Are there any things that you wish you would have liked to have known?
Oh, God, yes.
So many.
I mean, I thought breastfeeding was this, like, really organic, like, magical thing that you just do because you have this body and this connection and this, like, and it's like, I also kind of appreciate that people didn't bust my bubble, you know, because I actually think that, you know, pregnancy is already hard in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but at the same time, it's like as soon as you go through this portal and you're on the other side, then people are like, now that you've already, like, signed the contract and you're already in. Now that you're in.
Yeah.
Then they're suddenly like, how's the breastfeeding going?
Buckle,
you doing
up.
Okay? And it's like this whole thing. And, like, I spent so many hours in the lactation consultation rooms. I went through this really hardcore process where I had to wake up my baby because he didn't feel hungry. Mm-hmm. And because he was born a little early and he didn't feel hungry. Now he feels very hungry.
He just walked over here like, feed me now.
Yeah. As I said that, he like opened his mouth and was like, I put another like a 20th dumpling in his mouth. So he's really tall. He's doing great. But when he was born, he was losing weight. He wasn't hungry. And we were just going through this process of like latching, you know, the latching and then like the amount of milk production. And like, it was so overwhelming that I had to basically to get to a place where he was getting milk and my body was producing it and he was having it. I had to start a process every 3 hours. So if the process got done in 45 minutes, that rest of the time I could rest.
Yeah.
If the process took an hour and a half, the hour and a half that was left is what I got to rest.
Yeah.
And the process had to start every 3 hours, around the clock, 24 hours.
From when they start, bro. And no one tells you that.
And that shit happened for a whole month or two. I don't know how long it was.
Yeah.
It was, I broke, my whole body broke out into hives.
Yeah.
At some point I was like, okay, I'm going to keep it at like 80%, you know, he's going to have a bottle too.
I mean, I feel like that makes some things that my mom told me about me and my brother. My mom was like, as soon as I could get y'all on formula, y'all went on formula. She's like, I did my part. I had y'all naturally. The rest is on you. I was like, she's like, all that you have to go through. Yeah.
I was that person that texted Devanya after she went through the portal, and I was like, Devanya, how's it going? And she was like,
horrible. I sent like 6 pages back as an answer. Yeah, I mean, that's my main answer to that. Is breastfeeding is way more difficult than it, and it hurts and all of that. Like, you know, and it's funny because they're like, it shouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. It doesn't matter if you've got the perfect latch. Like, it's still, like, you can imagine an iron clamp covered in sandpaper with drool on it that's warm. That's like clamping and sucking your nipple. That's what that feels like.
Good sound effects.
That is what it feels like for hours. For hours and hours. And you're literally like, I'm about to cut these fucking tits off. Like, I don't want them.
They're
stupid and they're terrible.
But I wished I wouldn't care. But I cared.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so even now, I mean, you know, I was really panicking in the beginning because nothing, like, I just felt like I wasn't producing enough. And then, like, it was like a switch came on my boobs, like, all right, we'll do something. Now, I actually overproduce, which is nice. But me and her, I mean, my baby, we never got to the place where she fully completes off of my breast. So I'm still, like, breastfeeding and pumping. And that'll just be the journey until, like, we're done.
I mean, this really affirms the labor that wet nurses provided.
Oh, God.
When you say you're done, when we're done, you mean, like, when she's, like, on her SAT test?
Man, I wish that girl would call me. Mom, you know, I'm in the middle of my sack. Can you come, girl? You'll take the city out your mouth.
Get away from me.
It's time to pop that city out your mouth.
Have a sandwich. Get out of here. She's one of those babies that gets distracted. And I think she was always like,
your child gets distracted? Stop it. No.
But it's so funny. It's like people, you know, they breastfeed in public and all of that. I don't think I could ever do that because, like, the amount of raw titty that would get exposed constantly would be constant.
Bro, it would be intense.
I mean, because she pops off all the time, and then she still wants a bottle. So, I mean, I'm like, we're done.
I've seen you in your home fighting.
You are fighting.
There.
I'm like, please eat.
Sitting there just holding your titty, trying to
And she's
shut.
Like, no. Nah.
It was an epic fight.
Yeah, we still fight.
I've never seen a titty just look like so much of an object. It was just like a little.
It's just milk is spraying everywhere. Because again, I overproduce. I'm like, what are you complaining about? Please help me. And I've never seen someone eat so angrily in my entire life, except for my baby.
You are exceptionally good at pumping in public, though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's
I'm
wild.
Fast. I'm quick.
Man, we have been in the middle of movie theaters.
We have been in the middle of restaurants.
Yep.
And then all I'll hear is the little suction noise.
Yep.
D has already popped the little cups on.
Yeah, man.
But Tanya, can we talk about pumping? Because oh my god,
that too also makes me so. It's really weird. Something that people didn't tell me, and I don't think it's common, but for some people, some birthing people, when you are pumping or nursing, you get